Oh, darling, do not give me that face. You might as well be plucking on my heartstrings. I heard the news. I am aware you did not manage to pass your test. However, that does not mean it is all hopeless. You need to start believing in yourself. This is where I would naturally say an inspirational quote, but I'm afraid nothing comes to mind. Ah, your phone is buzzing. Do I need to excuse myself from the room? A new video upload? What do you watch if you don't mind me asking you? Oh, you listen to those Learn in Your Sleep videos. Curious. Do you find it helps, or is it more of a sleeping aid to switch your mind off? I have noticed a trend that younger people are finding sleep harder these days. I think it's due to pressure and stress. That's why there has been such a rise in these creative outlets where their only objective is to put you to sleep. Guided meditation, ASMR, yoga, even drinking a hot glass of milk before bed. I can see the appeal of sleeping with something making noise in the background. If I'm honest with you, tutor to student, I actually like falling asleep to documentaries about planets. I don't know why, but the orchestral music they play in the back makes my heart flutter. It fills me with such a wondering glee, right when I'm on the cusp of reality and the dream world. I'll ask you though, do you dream much? Can you remember much details from them if you do? As much as I personally do not believe in horoscopes or symbolism, I do find there is some meaning behind certain common dreams we have. I have heard about teeth falling out in your dreams. It means you are afraid of the change that is happening or about to happen in your life. However, I propose to you a question. I dreamt of my teeth falling out, only to be replaced by bigger and sharper ones. I had a menacing grin in the mirror. What do you think that meant? There's no correct answer. I'm just curious what you think it means. You're yawning an awful lot in my class. I'm not pointing it out to be obtuse. Are you getting enough sleep? I'm not here to act as your parent, however, I'm sure you already know what a vital role sleep plays in our lives. Without the correct rest of your brain, you cannot properly digest what occurred to you during the day. Sleep has been proven to aid our memories and the recall of information, specifically new information, which is exactly what I'm looking for with you. I believe in you, even if you do not. It sounds silly, but if you need to nap in my class, I honestly do not mind. Although not proven, I am a believer in learning as you sleep. It sounds silly, but your brain never shuts off. Think about it. When you're asleep, if I scream, you wake up, right? Because you aren't dead to the world. Your body is still going, monitoring, making sure you're alright. So why would it be impossible to also learn as you sleep? You're still processing the information going on around you. Just this time, I think it would be physics. I could literally read to you the contents of this book while you nap. It could actually help me out, to be honest. Put a theory to the test. Would you be willing? Literally all you would do right now is rest your head down and dwell. I'll just ramble away. Then, if your next results seem to have an increase in percentage, then we would know something is up. I'm not expecting you to go crazy and straight A's, but well, I mark your work. I can tell when you're guessing and when you know your stuff. Because you like to doodle a little sum when you remember next to it. I used to do that too, write all my formulas down on a question paper so I could focus on not having to remember them. You didn't learn that from me though. Well, if you're up for it, guess all you have to do is rest your head and I'll open my textbook. I'll go back to the beginning. Newton's first law. An object will remain at rest or will continue to move in a straight line at constant speed unless acted upon by an unbalanced force. For example, during a car crash, the occupants will continue to move forward at a constant speed if not wearing seatbelts, which provide an unbalanced force to stop them. Most moving objects do not continue to move at a constant velocity due to either the force or friction of gravity. Terminal velocité. In reality, the frictional force acting on the object does not remain constant. In fact, friction increases as velocity increases. Consider the example of a skydiver. Downward force acting on a skydiver is weight, which causes an acceleration towards the ground. The force of air resistance acts against the skydiver. This resulting force acting on the skydiver can be calculated from the difference between these two forces. As the velocity of the skydiver increases, the air resistance upwards increases because the weight force downwards is constant. The difference between these two forces grows smaller. This eventually results in the forces becoming balanced and the skydiver falls with a constant velocity. This is called terminal velocity and is a maximum velocity that the skydiver can reach. Tension is the force that is transmitted through a cable, rope, string, or wire when it is pulled tight by forces acting from opposite ends. Tension acts along the full length of the string or cable and pulls equally on the object attached at both ends. For example, in order for a crane to be able to lift a shipping container at constant velocity, the tension in the cable must be at least equal to the weight of the container acting downwards. Where does momentum occur? An object can have a large momentum if it is traveling at a large velocity and also if it has a large mass. There are many examples in real life that demonstrate momentum, some of which include snooker, curling, rockets, or the mechanism of a gun. As velocity is a vector, so is momentum, and therefore its direction must be taken into account. The momentum has the same direction as the velocity. A change in direction is denoted by the change in sign, i.e., where there is motion in the opposite direction, one momentum must be taken as negative. A modern automated changing the force of an impact. Modern automated engineering is a good example of this idea in practical terms. Cars are designed with control zones on the front and rear. These specifically designed areas absorb the energy of a collision and increase the amount of time it takes for the car to come to a stop. For a given change in momentum, the time of impact increases. Projectiles. A projectile is an object which is influenced only by the downward force of gravity. Once projected, it continues its motion under its own inertia. Projectiles can be launched horizontally, vertically, or a combination of the two. Examples of projectiles are objects thrown vertically upwards, objects dropped vertically downwards, objects launched upwards at an angle or objects launched from the height horizontally. Projectiles launched at an angle are called oblique projectiles. As with horizontal projectiles, they are only acted upon by the force of gravity. The horizontal and vertical components must be treated separately. The velocity of an angle must be split into its vertical and horizontal components before any calculations can be attempted. Newton's thought experiment. Isaac Newton conducted a thought experiment where he imagined a cannonball being fired horizontally off a cliff. The cannonball follows a curved path as the force of gravity acts to make it fall back to Earth. If the projectile is launched with a greater horizontal velocity, it lands further from the cannon. If the ground also curls away from the cannon, it will land even further. If the ground also curves away from the cannon, it will land even further from where it was launched. Newton imagined that there was a horizontal launch velocity that would result in the projectile falling to Earth at the same rate at which the Earth's surface curves away from it. It would therefore orbit Earth. At this velocity, the cannonball would never return to Earth unless acted upon by an external force. Newton's thought experiment suggested satellite motion roughly 300 years before Sputnik 1, the first man-made object to orbit the Earth. The speed of a satellite in orbit around the Earth is constant. However, the satellite obeys Newton's second law of motion. It is in orbit, meaning its direction is constantly changing as gravity pulls the satellite towards the Earth. Remembering that velocity is a vector quantity requiring both speed and direction, which means the satellite's velocity is constantly changing and is therefore accelerating. The satellite is said to be in freefall. An object is described as being in freefall when the force of gravity is the only force acting on it. The speed of the satellite needs to be right to remain in orbit. If the satellite is too slow, it will fall to Earth. If it is too fast, it will leave Earth's orbit completely. Newton's law of gravitation can be used to calculate the value of the force between any two objects of any size. Everyday objects can exert a force of gravitational attraction on one another. The reason we do not notice these forces in daily life is because these gravitational forces are so small. The effects of these forces are only apparent when very large masses are involved. Gravitation and the universe. The application of Newton's law of gravity has enabled us to acquire much of the detailed information we have about the planets in our solar system, the mass of the sun, and even the existence of dark matter. We know the masses of planets and stars that far outreach our current traveling abilities. These masses are obtained by applying the law of gravity to the measured characteristics of the orbit. In space, an object maintains its orbit because of the force of gravity acting upon it. Planets orbit stars. Stars orbit galactic centers, galaxies orbit as center of mass in clusters, and clusters orbit in superclusters. All of this is due to the universal law of gravitation, which dictates the orbit of all the planets in our solar system and beyond. Newtonian physics assumes the concept of absolute space and time. Absolute space implies a static backdrop against which all movement can be referenced. For example, think about sitting on the train next to another train when one of the trains starts moving. It is sometimes difficult to tell which of the two trains is moving until you relate the movement to the fixed background of the train station. Newton assumed that there was always a fixed reference point for all moving objects. This fixed reference point is known as absolute space. Absolute time assumes that time is the same for all observers, including those in motion. This absolute time exists across the universe, meaning that the observer on Mars would experience time the same way as an observer on Earth. In a Newtonian universe, there should be no difference in space or time, regardless of where you are or how fast you are moving. Therefore, two observers should agree on measurements of distance and time. Reference frames. A frame of reference is a physics term that describes a measurement made by a particular observer. Relativity is chiefly concerned with making observations and movements from different frame references. Imagine three different observers. A passenger sitting next to you on a train traveling east at 60 miles per hour. A passenger on another train traveling west at 30 miles per hour. And a person standing stationary on a train platform. Each observer is in their own frame of reference, so will make their own observations about your motion. The principles of relativity. Special relativity is described as special because it only considers the special case where reference frames are moving at a constant speed. Einstein built his special theory of relativity by using two basic ideas. The laws of physics are the same for all observers. The speed of light in a vacuum is the same for all observers. This means that light does not obey the ordinary laws of relative motion. The speed of light does not depend on the motion of the source or the motion of the observer towards or away from the source. In order for the speed of light to remain constant, there must be changes in the measurements made of distance and of time. Time dilation. One consequence of the speed of light being the same for all observers is that the time experienced by all observers is not always the same. A process that takes a certain time to occur in the moving frame of reference is observed to take a longer time from the point of view of someone in a different frame of reference. For example, the stationary observer outside the moving spacecraft can see a clock on the moving spacecraft move its second hand 10 seconds, but can also see that this takes 11 seconds when measured by her own watch. The observer in the moving spacecraft also sees their own watch has counted 11 seconds, but measures the observer outside the spacecraft as having a time of 10 seconds on their watch. Both observers conclude that one person's watch is running slowly. The Doppler effect is the change in frequency of a wave when the source of the observer is moving. It can be observed in all types of waves, including light and all of the waves in the electromagnetic spectrum. The Doppler effect is most commonly experienced with sound waves. A fast-moving car approaching and then receding emits a sound that is of a higher frequency as it approaches and a lower frequency as it moves away. The same can be observed with a passing train or airplane. As the universe is expanding, light from distant galaxies shows the Doppler effect. This causes the light emitted to shift towards the red end of the electromagnetic spectrum due to an increase in wavelength. This is called redshift and can be used to measure very large distances, as well as the speed at which galaxies are receding. If galaxies are moving towards the Earth, this causes the light emitted to shift towards the blue end of the spectrum. This is called blue shift and can again be used to measure distances in space and the speed at which the galaxies are moving towards us. Rate of expansion. Edward Hubble's measurements of the velocity of galaxies suggested that the universe was expanding. It has been shown in recent years that the rate of this expansion is increasing. Observation of distant supernovas have shown us that they are less bright than expected, indicating that the rate of expansion is slowing but accelerating. Measurements made of cosmic microwave backgrounds provide further evidence for the accelerating universe. The force of gravity holds together galaxies. Gravity should therefore be an unbalanced force that acts to slow the rate of expansion on the universe, yet observations have shown that this is not the case. This suggests that there is a force acting to overcome the gravitational attraction between galaxies. This force must be significantly greater than the force of gravity in order to cause the accelerated expansion of the universe. Astronomers and cosmologists have as yet been unable to determine the source of energy for this mysterious force, so it is referred to as dark energy. The magnitude of the force of gravity is determined by the masses of the universe. If the mass of the universe is large enough that the force of gravity is greater than the force produced by dark energy, the universe will begin to collapse in on itself, ending in a big crunch. If the mass of the universe is small enough that the force of gravity is less than the force produced by dark energy, the universe will continue expanding forever. I think that is all my little voice box can muster. You're lucky we did this at the end of the day, not at the start, or I'm sure it would have been late to some. Like you've been